Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Inspire small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. But there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. 34 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Rich Galen is here, too, because we're going to have some fun with Rich. He's also going to inform us. That's his job. He's required to do that. Rich is our old friend, and in the interest of full disclosure, he is of the Republican persuasion. And so that's the angle. He'll be spinning from the left, from the right over there, and he's here to talk to us about what's going on out there in the world, especially the campaign. As many of you know who've listened to the show before, Rich is the author and the publisher of the thrice weekly Mullings new letter, which is at mullings.com. It's a cyber column basically that comes out every three times a week, and I certainly enjoy my copy. He's our good friend, Rich Galen. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, my friend. Good to be with you.
It's good to have you back. You're reporting to us from Connecticut, aren't you?
Beautiful downtown Hartford. Actually, it's a place called Rocky Hill, I think. It's outside of Hartford. I'm not sure.
I called somebody up there yesterday. I'm going to be there the last week of October, hoping to catch some of the colors. And they told me that the leaves have not turned at all yet.
No, not yet. Typically, okay. we have a family house. I mean, a lot of your readers would understand. But in western Massachusetts, in a place called Great Barrington, and almost every year the leaves are at their height on or about Columbus Day, so we've got another couple of weeks, I think.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping they'll hold off a little bit, so I'll have some color in the end of October. But anyway,
for your listeners who have never seen that, once in your life you
fantastic.
Should come and see it. If you didn't believe in God before that, boy,
in the mid
a bright fall morning in New England is a sight to behold.
In the mid-80s, I caught the colors in Connecticut, not in the month, not the week, not the day, on the hour that they changed.
Yeah.
It was absolutely, it took me, you know, you can go anywhere in Connecticut in an hour.
Right.
In a car. It took me 3 hours to drive 75 miles. I couldn't stay in my car. I kept getting out and taking pictures.
We love people like you. on the Blue Ridge Parkway and down the spine of Virginia, it goes north and south along the Appalachian Highway, the Appalachian Mountains, or the Blue Ridge Mountains, obviously. During the fall season, you may as well just, you know, you have to sleep over in your car because people go 1 mile an hour, stop, get out.
Yeah, be sure to take water and food and a blanket. Hey, Rich, let's talk about the campaign.
Yeah.
What's the campaigns? What's happening in the presidential campaign? What are we now?
Well,
what, T-minus 41 days and counting?
Yeah, something like that. It's let's see, it's 30 days past September. So
I think it's 40, 41 days.
Yeah, well, three plus whatever, however many days are, you know, three plus to 30 plus whatever's left in this month. But here's the thing. I was just looking this morning over the polling information that in the last time that John Kerry was ahead in anybody's poll, was August 29th, and we are now, to December or to September, what, 21st, or somewhere thereabouts, 22nd, and
so 3 weeks, over 3 weeks,
almost 4 weeks now, and that in and of itself doesn't matter very much. I mean, because the election hasn't been held over the last 3 weeks.
And there are two. Four actually debates between now and then.
Yeah, I'm not so sure those are going to be as exciting as people want. Certainly, as the Democrats want them to be. But the thing that it does do, from a tactical standpoint, is it begins to suppress the what are called soft voters, the soft Kerry voters that don't like Bush. They're not big on Kerry. They were going to vote for Kerry because why not? But if they think he's going to lose anyway, then they simply don't come out to the polls. Which is one of the reasons why you saw all that coverage yesterday of Kerry's speech the day before, when they said that his team is now in a fighting mood and they're, you know, energized. They're not. I mean, they're just trying to. I mean, they are. It's like cheerleaders. You know, when your team is down 32-0. Their job is to stand there and still, you know, shake their pom-poms, so to speak. But everybody in the stands knows, you know, they're going to get out before the parking lot empties.
And Rich, you know, that you and you with pom-poms, that's a visual I just really didn't need. But.
Hey, you leave my pom-poms alone now.
But you're right. The polls have not been kind to Mr. Kerry for the last few weeks.
No, and of course, you know, and that's at the national level. And of course, your listeners are very sophisticated, and they remember that this
Absolutely.
Is not a national election. It's 51 or 52 separate elections.
Well, and there are also only 359 people left in America who haven't made up their mind.
Well, everybody says that, but I'm not so sure that's right. I mean, you know, there's a reason that these polls shift. You know, shift. I mean, whether it's Gallup or, you know, Zogby or whoever it is, because people do change their minds.
Right.
And those are the soft voters. The committed voters are the committed voters.
Hold on to that thought, Rich. We've got to take a quick break. We're going to come back, and I'm going to ask Rich how things are going in the battleground states. That's where the elections are going to be decided, in the battleground states. 2012. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Rich Galen.
I'm on a mountain of love. The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I need
fun. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. Haven't given that to you this hour. My fault. jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. And I would like to encourage you to check out Rich Galen's website. Rich, give it to us, please.
www.mullings.com.
Tell us what we'll find when we get there.
Well, it's a standard newspaper length column, 700 words, but it's written, I hope, in a breezy sort of way that makes it easy to get through. It used to be, when I first started it years and years and years ago, I called it Talking Points, and I used asterisks because you couldn't do bullets on 1972 typewriters.
but nor could you do superscripts.
That's exactly right. Then I changed it to Mullings, but it's still written in talking point fashion, which is to say bullet points and short, snappy.
And he'll email it to you if you're nice.
I will email it to you for free.
If you're nice to him and you subscribe to
him. You don't have to be nice. You can write me, some of my readers write me very nasty things, especially when I make grammatical or spelling errors. That's
yeah,
very,
and which he is wont to do from time to time. But
I do it about once every, you know, column.
Thrice weekly. I liked having you on because I get to say that, Richard. He writes his column thrice weekly, and so it makes me sound urbane. And so subscribe, folks. And even if you're not a Republican, you're going to want to know what he's up to. And I know that's the reason a lot of Democrats subscribe to your letter, Rich, and that's at Mullings.com. Rich, I interrupted you. You were telling us about the campaigns, and why did you say that you think that the debates are not going to be as big an impact, having as big an impact?
Well, because, sometimes they are. Sometimes they have a huge impact. The most two-storied debates are Kennedy versus Nixon, which the theory is that this is when television became really the kind of the, mm-hmm. the leading medium, because people who listened to that debate on the radio thought that Nixon won.
Well, and television was still the medium, and we had nothing else to do.
Well, this is 1960. Remember, I mean,
watch television. That's all we had to do.
Yeah, that's right. There wasn't much else going on, and you had to watch one of the three networks if you got all three, and most people did not.
And there was nothing else on.
Yeah, well, I'm old enough to remember when the first thing on in the afternoon was Howdy Doody at 5:00.
Absolutely, me too.
4:30. Yeah.
Yep.
Then the next most important one was probably Carter versus Ford, when Ford freed the polls about 20 years too early. Then the Reagan Carter debate, there was only one that year, was important because people were really disenchanted with Carter and what was going on in the world and in the country. They just needed to be assured that that Reagan looked presidential and could act presidentially, and he did. So
which he did.
So he just, all he needed to do actually was show up, mm-hmm. and literally act the part, which he did very well, and then actually became the part, which he did even better.
Well,
so you know, so something dramatic has to happen here, and I'm not so sure it will. One of the things about Bush that is one of the reasons he is typically underrated as a candidate is that he is very disciplined. I mean, he is a disciplined guy, and I lived in Texas when he beat Ann Richards, the incumbent for governor, back in 1994. And the Richards campaign did everything they could to get under his skin because they thought he was prickly and they could get him to respond. And then they could play the female versus the male card again, which they had done 4 years earlier. And Bush just ignored him. So he will go into this thing, you know, well-prepared and very disciplined. And because people already know he kind of mangles the language with alacrity, that's not so important. I mean, that's part of the
that's
thing.
Kind of, that's kind part of his shtick now, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's part of his charm. So really the onus is on Kerry to try to make something happen. And the last time somebody tried to make something happen, when it was Gore, you know, sat there and sighed loudly
right.
over Bush's answers.
Kalijah Gore. What about is Kerry going to be able to show us his softer, his human side in the debates, or is he going to be?
I'm not so sure.
Is he going to be Kalijah Kerry?
Yeah, no, I don't think that's what they're going to want. I think the problem with Kerry is that, and this is on the front page of USA Today today, the election is turning into a duel of the manly men. It's more than posturing. Image may win key states. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Kerry didn't show up in his, you know, in his swift boat outfit.
So no girly men here. Is that what you're saying?
No, that's right. We need manly men. Manly men.
Okay, let's move over and talk a little bit about the what they're calling Rathergate. Now,
yeah.
Look, the CBS thing with all the documents and everything, most of us know everything that's going on there. We've been through it with ad nauseum. But there are some new things, and this is the Lockhart connection.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Well, it's really odd. And I mean, the way I wrote about it this morning was in the column this morning was that what happened, just to review the bidding, is that the producer, Mary Mapes, made a deal with this guy Burkett that if he would give her the documents,
I'm sorry, Mary Mapes is producer at CBS.
Yeah, CBS.
And Burkett is the guy who's created the documents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he said he didn't create them. He got them from.
Right.
Okay. Mystery.
He's
woman.
The agent for the documents.
Yeah, but his story is that he made a deal with her that he would give her the documents if she would put him into contact with somebody high up in the Kerry campaign. So
mm-hmm.
She calls Joe Lockhart, which is not unreasonable. I mean, we all know each other. We hang around. You know, we eat at the Palm. We laugh at the underlings. We do all those things together.
And sit around and, singing. What did the simple folk do?
Yeah. Exactly. You know, having tea at Tara.
Right.
And so she did, and Lockhart does what she was asked. He calls this guy. And they chat. We don't know how many times they got called or what else happened. But and what Lockhart did or didn't
hold
do
on to that thought, Rich, because when we come back, I want to ask you, what were there improprieties in all that? And also, when we come back, folks, Rich hasn't been that long out of Iraq. I'm going to get him to give us his take on how things are going over there. Tintel, stay with us.
Calling of your heart strength, the place soft and low. Your love give me such a thrill, but your love don't pay my bills. I need
fun. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Rich Galen is our guest. Don't forget to subscribe to his newsletter, his thrice-weekly cyber column, I guess I should call it. And it's of the Republican persuasion, but mostly it's a lot of fun and very informative, folks. I encourage you to check it out at Mullings.com and subscribe there. And you can even tell him I sent you. Rich, And be nice to him, Rich, if they say that.
I will.
Okay. Lockhart has been connected to
the
document guy by a CBS executive.
Yeah. I don't know that Lockhart did anything wrong by making that phone call. I mean,
did Mapes do anything wrong journalistic?
Oh, yeah, Mapes, absolutely. There's no question that
from a journalistic ethics standpoint, that was a major breach, wasn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, that she should be already fired. I mean, there's no excuse for her still being on the payroll. For a senior producer at a major network, and as I wrote in the column this morning, she didn't call Lockhart to move the story ahead or to get the Kerry campaign's take on all this. She called him specifically to put an anti-Bush person into contact with a high-level advisor to the Bush campaign. I mean, that, mm-hmm. there is no
You mean a high-level advisor to the Kerry campaign?
To the Kerry campaign,
yeah.
Exactly. So she should have been fired already. I mean, I'm shocked that CBS hasn't actually seen.
And many of her peers in the industry are shocked at that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, that's just beyond the pale. Now, the other side of it is that what Lockhart did by returning that phone call is put the Kerry campaign into the story, where they could have said, look, we didn't know anything about this. But this happened days, if not a week, before the story was on 60 Minutes, because this guy Burkett wouldn't turn the documents over until that phone call had been made. So the Kerry campaign knew that this was coming. I suspect somebody at the Republican National Committee is probably doing is they're probably looking over public statements out of the campaign in the days leading up to September 8th, when this story was aired, to see if there are any shifts in language or shifts in emphasis based upon what they thought was coming on CBS. So whether or not Lockhart did anything wrong ethically, although ethics and politics is an oxymoron, that doesn't really matter. What the effect is that it puts the Kerry campaign into a story that they don't need to be, from their standpoint, they don't need to be in at all, because they got enough problems with hurricanes.
The concept of chutzpah to a new dimension, they've turned it around and said it's the Republicans' fault. Is that?
Well, the original theory was that this is all a grand plot by Karl Rove.
The vast right-wing conspiracy.
Yeah, but that's what the title of the column this morning was. The vast conspiracy was right, but Rove is a pretty smart guy, and I know him fairly well. But that is a plot that every single aspect of it has to work every step along the way.
Where's it going to go? What's going to wind up? What's going to be the resolution in all this?
Well, the resolution.
Our jobs going to be lost.
People get fired. They'll have to be fired at CBS. I mean, Viacom can't stand this. No, he won't lose his job. He's too strong. But what I wrote this morning was that it will hasten the end of network news as we know it. I mean, these.
And I saw that you read that you wrote that. I read your piece this morning, and here was my reaction to that, I should say, to your question about hasten the demise. My reaction was, does anybody care?
Yes, exactly right. Who cares? Well, that's right. I mean, the reality is more people watch any of the three nightly newscasts, the half-hour newscast, than watch all of, of CNN for 24 hours. I mean, it does, a lot of people do watch that, but it is very difficult for these networks to justify the enormous expense in running these news divisions anymore when the cable news outlets are so strong.
I want to change subjects. I want to talk about Iraq. Now, you've been home from Iraq about 6 months. It seems if you listen to the news, things are falling apart over there.
Well, I actually, as you know, I get a daily report from it's an intelligence operation, but it's an open source operation. It's not, there's nothing secret in the reports that yet. It's an analysis of what's in the newspapers. And the big news, I mean, they mention these bombings, but, for most Iraqis, unless you happen to be where the bomb went off, it was somewhere else. I mean,
but to Americans, two Americans have been beheaded in the last 48 hours. That's big news, isn't it?
Right, that's big news, and that's why they're doing it, because they know that it will capture Americans' attention. They know that the Kerry campaign will jump on it. These guys, I firmly believe, would prefer not to have George W. Bush as president of the United States, because the United States is the only country capable of demonstrating the will
and the
to fight them forever, if necessary.
Rich, I've only got about 10 seconds. Finish.
Okay.
Go ahead. Finish.
Because of John Kerry's inability to articulate a policy, they think they'll be better off with him. I mean, I don't think there's any question about that.
Well, the concern that I have is that people are going to be mad at somebody besides the people who beheaded those guys. That's who I'm mad at.
Yeah, and that's their aim.
Rich Gaydon, ladies and gentlemen, a great American. Thanks, Rich. Thanks for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time. Rich Gaydon, Mullings.com. Go check his website out. I'm Jim Blasingame. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.